Sustaining it live with Rita Steele on 95BFM.
Come in, Rita Steele. Are you there?
Kia ora, how are you?
Good. Have we talked since the massive rain that happened in out in the Waitakere Ranges? Have we had a yarn?
Which ones?
I don't know. It's just been raining the whole... I mean, apart from the last week where it's been nice, it's just been raining.
Yeah. I think we talked the day after...
The real big one?
You know what? I can't actually remember now. No, maybe we haven't.
Okay. How are you doing out there? Are you okay? Have you been stranded out there?
No, we've been really lucky. And I've got massive survivor's guilt because bar a couple of, brownouts for a few minutes, we even kept power the whole way through. It's been quite phenomenal because on either side of us, people have lost power for days.
Yes.
And then, people are, 200 metres up the road. There's a huge slip on the road that, has blocked in PR residents. And, it's pretty full on, man.
You can see, I think there's a few people out. I'm in Avondale and I look out to the ranges. You can see the slips on the hill. They're so big that you can see them on the ranges.
Yeah, they look like scars. It's really sad. Yeah, and I grew up in Avondale and looked across the ranges my entire life growing up, and never once did I ever see erosion like that. So it's certainly hit, the Waitakere pretty hard and Piha residents and Mirawai and Karikari and, they're still dealing with, I think I read 25% of homes have been red stickered in Mirawai. So it's pretty devastating for the Waitakere and just goes to show sort of how important it is for us to protect because, it could be so much worse if that forest is unhealthy, that water just runs straight off and into Auckland,
Yeah, my auntie and uncle live out in Piha, and I, from what I've heard, basically every house down the street has kind of slipped down the hill, which is where they are. Sounds terrifying.
Yeah, and I know that they've still got, they can't really, I think they've only just opened the road to be able to get in. It was like a two-hour one-way trip to get into the city. And it's just been really hard. I mean, those isolated communities, are always going to be extremely vulnerable to these sorts of things.
Yes.
But there are really amazing communities out in those beaches and places. So they've pulled together and, I keep close eye on the PR Facebook group because I'm so close to it and we've got friends out there and, seeing them rally together has just been quite phenomenal, actually.
Yes.
They're amazing.
Now, speaking of all this rainfall, obviously this water all has to go somewhere. This evening we're talking about wetlands.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good time to try and talk about, what we can do to help ourselves become more resilient to these sorts of downfalls, these big rains because they're not going to stop. So wetlands are sort of the, they're sort of the, ugly child of the environment, I guess, for those who aren't environmentalists. I think Judith Collins, once referred to them as swamps that she didn't care about, and that's pretty much, I think, the view of a lot of, especially probably older generations where they were just something that you drained. So, and as a result, we've lost 90% of our wetlands, which is really sad because they are really important and provide a lot of ecosystem services to us. So, just for those that don't know what wetlands are, I'm sure you can kind of take a bit of a guess, but they are in low-lying areas and they're usually the edges of streams and lakes and the link between the land and the water. And they're made up of really specialist like plants and species that can help sort of act like a sponge. And what that does is slow down the water running off the land and into the waterways and then also filters it in the process. Mm. So they're really important to slowing down floodwaters and clearing up the ensuring that our waters are clean.
Also like teeming with life and biodiversity, correct?
Absolutely. Just and really unique species. They tend to not be able to live anywhere else. Mm. And also, when it's dry, these areas sort of release water back into the system. So they like that they'd really do is act like that sponge to help regulate, you know, the land and the water. So yeah, really, really important role that they have. And it's just really unfortunate that, you know, when the colonizers came to New Zealand, they just saw them as these things that needed to be drained. And you can kind of understand where they came from with that, because a lot of it, the soil is actually really fertile because it's had so much, you know, it's drawn out the minerals from the floods, because floods, the great thing about floods is they bring minerals to the soil, and then of course that soil is super fertile. So yes, the farmers or the colonizers at the time drained them to make farmland. And then of course you've got the urban folk who go, awesome, you know, this is a great place to put my house, it's right by the water, I've got a great view. So we drain them a lot for housing as well.
Okay. All right. So we've concreted over all of these wetlands, and for the stuff, I mean, the wetlands that are still cruising, I was just going for a walk by my house the other day, down at the bottom of Heron Park in Avondale, and they've built this neat little boardwalk which goes through the estuary deeper into Avondale, and I was looking at all the rubbish that was in the mangroves, and it seems like every single piece of junk, ice cream wrapper, old tin can and suitcase full of rubbish, there's actually a suitcase that someone has filled with rubbish and chucked into the estuary,
that's awful,
has just sort of ended up in this mangrove swamp. I mean, what can we, I mean, Rita, is there any, I mean, okay, this is my plan. I'm just going to like let it all out here, Rita. So I was thinking I could put a notice in everyone's mailbox nearby and back a trailer down like one Saturday afternoon and just get the community to do a walk through the mangroves and pick up pieces of rubbish. Is that kosher? Could I actually do that? Could I organise a community group to pick up the rubbish in the estuary?
Yeah, absolutely. Probably your first port of call would be to touch base with your R&R, your resident ratepayers group, because they may have an environmental kind of like little group going already, and they can kind of just help you, like whether it's, you know, that they sometimes, I like, for example, at the moment there's a Neighbours Day fund that the council are doing, $200, and it helps for things like this. So if you guys wanted to do a little clean up and then at the end go to the tip or put on some beers to say thanks or whatever it is that you want to spend your $200 on, then that's exactly what that's for, and the resident ratepayers can sort of help facilitate some of that stuff for you, or they might have a core group of people that are really keen on helping you organise it, or will have a trailer or whatever. So definitely first port of call, I'd say, for those of you out there that want to do something about your local estuaries and rivers and creeks, just tap in, like check with your resident ratepayers, and if they have something going, then awesome, you can see, you know, how you can help or whether you can do that project and what they can do to support. Otherwise, absolutely, just go and do something. Like,
do you know much about, like, say I was going to wander into this wetland estuary and just start pulling out rubbish and trampling over everything? I mean, it's an ecosystem in itself. I know it's full of
absolutely
rubbish. I just go in there and pick up rubbish, or should there be things I'm mindful of rather than standing on all the local...
there's usually groups like things like Friends of the Fowl, which I probably would be the ones that you'd probably touch base for that particular project, because it's bordering on the Fowl, and they will know, you know, where you're talking about, and they might go, actually that's totally fine, you know, recently that was, you know, all, you know, regenerated, and you can walk your way through there, or they might have maps of what you can and can't do, or tools that you could use. So again, it's just trying to tap into those existing knowledge bases and resources to see if you can get some help with, you know, the more specialist kind of parts, like how do I clean this up without destroying it?
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's really awesome to have someone that notices that and cares about it, because we've got to protect these.
It's disgusting. It is disgusting. Can I just say, it's disgusting. I love the walkway and I love the mangroves around there, but the amount of rubbish that just sort of washes into the area is filthy.
Yeah. And that's unfortunately like their role of the wetlands is to sort of protect protect, you know, be that port of call between land and sea. But unfortunately what that means in the modern world is that it's gathering a whole lot of plastic and crap. Yeah, so we do absolutely need to protect them. The good news is a lot of that stuff, once it's removed, you know, nature is extremely resilient, and if we can stop putting crap into it, it will actually heal itself pretty quickly. And that goes for most ecosystems. So we're really lucky that we live on a planet that can heal itself. So yes, we just need to kind of make some progress. And a stat that I just think is really important for us to understand about Auckland is that 25% of our region was a wetland. That's a lot. It's now 0.5%, so it's half a percent is wetland. And so if you think about, we're sitting on basically, you know, a volcanic field that's also a floodland, you know. So I think in lots of ways we actually dealt with it pretty well. There was just pockets that really got quite hammered. But we, you know, we do need to protect those. You know, the council over the years has tried to do its best to protect some of those areas that do help mitigate some of this flood. And we have these big push to develop these areas, and it's like there's a reason that we have to sometimes put this stuff through a lot of rigor, and it's because some of these areas shouldn't be built on, and they should be protected to help stop flooding and erosion.
Yes, okay. All right, okay, what else do we need to know quickly to wrap things up, Rita Steele?
Yeah, just that we that, you know, it's really important that we keep, like, on a national level, keep an eye on this stuff. We've had no protection for wetlands. Things are changing with the national policy statement. We've had farmers have some really amazing, you know, rehabilitate some of their wetlands and have some really amazing results. One is able to filter up 60% of their nitrogen and 70% of their sediment runoff. So those sorts of things, man, like if there's a fix for some of this crap that's happening on farmland, wetlands is it. Like, they're so amazing. So next time you go past a wetland, instead of just seeing it as a crappy place with a whole lot of rubbish, maybe do what Johnny's doing and see if you can get involved in helping clean it up and protecting it.
Hey, I haven't done anything yet. I'm just thinking about it right still.
I'm going to follow up with you in a couple of weeks and see what's happened.
Whether I've hired that trailer and, like, you know, like, rallied the neighbourhood to pick up some rubbish at the bottom of Heron Park. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, make sure that you reach out and see if there's some people that can help, because what I've found with community projects is you can burn out really quickly and then you never do them again.
Yes.
Whereas if you can kind of meet people and have fun along the way, then it's something you'll do again.
Yeah.
So if
you
can, you know, get some support and help with it, then absolutely go that path.
If anyone else knows about this suitcase that I'm talking about in the mangroves at the bottom of Glendon Ave, I fucking hate that suitcase, full of rubbish. Someone has filled it up with rubbish and chucked it into the estuary. It's like, geez.
Oh, Christ. I listen to way too much true crime to not have checked out that suitcase.
Yeah, all right. Okay, Rita, thank you.
See you later.
Much.
Bye, guys.
That was Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele on 95 BFM.